Star Walker Studios presents Game Master's Journey, your multidimensional RPG podcast. Wizards of the Coast has recently released our first non-adventure supplement to D&D 5th Edition, the Sword Coast Adventurer's Guide. Today, I set off again on the Obsidian Monolith to discuss this supplement. I'll tell you exactly what is and isn't in this book and help you decide whether it's for you. So join me on the journey. Together, we can become game masters truly worthy of the title. Hello, listener. Greetings, fellow GM and or player. Welcome to episode 61 of Game Master's Journey, your multidimensional RPG podcast. I'm your host, Lex Starwalker, and I'm transmitting to you today from the Obsidian Monolith somewhere outside time and space. So I'm going to try something a little different with the show today in that I am going to review an RPG supplement, namely the Sword Coast Adventurer's Guide for D&D 5th Edition. Now, those of you who listen to my GM Intrusions podcast have heard me review things before. I used to have a whole segment of that show devoted to reviewing the various Numenera supplements that were out there. And I always got a lot of great feedback from those episodes. I had many, many people tell me that I helped them to decide whether or not a given supplement or product was for them. And that's kind of what I try to do with these reviews. I'm not here to sell you on something or convince you not to buy something. I'm here just to give my opinion and to do my best to give you kind of an unbiased, like, this is what the thing is, and you decide for yourself whether or not that's something you want. Now, it's a little different for this show because, you know, as you know, I try very hard to keep this show as generic, for lack of a better term, as I can. I try not to focus too much on, you know, a given system or whatever. And this is a supplement for D&D. I don't know that it's going to be much use to you if you don't play D&D. Although, if you're running a different system, but you're playing in the Forgotten Realms, maybe you're doing 13th Age or Dungeon World or something like that, then this might be of some use to you. But if you're not running D&D and you're not using the Forgotten Realms, this book may not be for you. Now, if you're world building and you're maybe looking for some ideas, it could be helpful for that. As you know, I'm building my own D&D world right now called Primordia. And so, you know, for the most part, the setting stuff in this book wasn't terribly useful to me. However, I have gotten some ideas from it that I'm using in my world. Specifically, I got some really cool ideas for my God of Love from the entry on Soon in this book. So as I get into the review, I'll just give you the nitty gritty and it'll be up to you to decide whether or not this is for you. So if you have zero interest in D&D or Forgotten Realms or fantasy role playing, then I apologize if this episode isn't quite as useful to you as some of the other episodes. But this is something I want to talk about because this book just came out and I've been seeing reviews all over the spectrum, and there are people that love this book, there are people that hate this book, and I've read a lot of reviews on one side or the other. So what I'm going to try to do is give you a more balanced review and try not to, you know, get all impassioned about my own personal opinion about the book and just kind of tell you what's there. So definitely let me know if you enjoy this kind of thing, if you'd like to hear me review more products. You know, one thing I've thought about doing on the show is just talking about, you know, the latest RPG book I've gotten. I recently got the Force and Destiny core book for the Star Wars system, and I've been very tempted to do a review of that just because I have some very strong opinions about it that may or may not go over well with some people. But I'm just not sure, you know, if people want to hear reviews on the show, especially a whole episode devoted to it. And for this particular review, I thought about just doing a real quick review of it and then going on to something else. But there is a lot in here and there's a lot to talk about. So I want to do it right if I'm going to do it. So let me know if you'd like to hear more reviews and maybe what you'd like to hear reviews on. I recently did a review of Never Unprepared, and that went over very well. I've gotten a lot of good feedback, and I will have more reviews on products like those that are not specific to a particular game. So that's something I'm going to do for sure. I guess what I'm really asking is, you know, these reviews like for this book for D&D or for Force and Destiny, you know, where it's a product for a specific game, are you interested in that? And I guess what I'd really like to hear also is, are you interested in hearing a review for a product for a game you don't play? Like, I'm curious, because me personally, I think I would be interested, but I'm curious, like, how many people are just like, this book is for D&D, so I don't play D&D, so I'm not going to listen to it, I'm not interested. And how many of you would still listen and be interested even if it's not a game you play? So let me know, gamemastersjourney@gmail.com, or you can leave a comment for this episode at the website, starwalkerstudios.com/gamemastersjourney, or you can leave a comment for this episode in the Google Plus community for Game Master's Journey. But before I get into the review, I have a new patron that I want to send a shout out to and a huge thank you. So thank you very much to Steven Strickland for becoming a patron of Starwalker Studios. I really appreciate it. Really appreciate all the patrons to help me keep this going. And if you're interested in becoming a patron, you can just click the Patreon button in the show notes, or you can go to patreon.com/starwalkerstudios. And I also want to send a thank you and shout out to Andre Vallee. I probably said that wrong, for your donation. Thank you very much, Andre. And again, you can just give a one-time donation. There's a donate button in the show notes if you don't want to become a patron. Really appreciate that too. And the awesome thing about Andre is in Brazil. So I am just so ecstatic that someone in Brazil is listening to this show. That is so awesome. That's so cool. So thank you very much, Andre. So yes, today I am going to be discussing the Sword Coast Adventurer's Guide. This is published by Wizards of the Coast and Green Ronin Publishing. So I think the first thing to think about or to understand about this or any other RPG supplement is, who is this book for? Right? I believe that this book is for dungeon masters who are running their campaigns in the Sword Coast area of the Forgotten Realms and are completely new to the Forgotten Realms. So if that's you, then this book is for you, and I'd say there's a good chance that you'll be very happy with this book. If that's not you, for instance, if you're a player and you don't DM, or you're a DM but you don't run in the realms, and maybe you're just looking for more rules and options for the game, or if you're a DM who runs in the realms but you've been around for a while and you have some other source of information about the realms, whether it's a fourth edition supplement or it's the Forgotten Realms campaign setting from third edition, or one of the Forgotten Realms box sets from second or first edition, then this may not be for you, or you may or may not be happy with it. And that's kind of what I'm going to try to really focus in on with this review, is helping you decide whether you want this thing or not. Also, you know, if you're running in the realms, but not in the Sword Coast, if you're running in Chult or something, this may not be for you. So listen on and we'll discuss further. So I counted pages and did the math, and the numbers came out really even, which is kind of funny. 80% of this book is setting material. So 80% is talking about areas in the Sword Coast, deities of the realms, just general information about the realms, things like that. Completely fluff, no mechanics, you know, just setting stuff, 80%. The other 20% gives some more flavor information on the various races in the realms that players can play, has a few new options for races in the realms, not new races, but just new kind of sub-race options. more flavor information on the classes and a few more class options and archetypes. Also, a few, literally four new cantrips and some more backgrounds. So 20% of the book is all that stuff. And from seeing reviews online, I think that's the part that a lot of us are interested in. And that's why a lot of people are disappointed with this book, because the stuff they want is 20% of the book. And again, of that 20%, a lot of that is flavor, non-mechanical stuff. So if you're looking for options for your players, or if you're a player looking for options for your character, and you're looking for mechanics, you know, new spells, new archetypes, things like that, that is a portion of that 20%. It's not all of it. So we can't even say 20% of the book is new mechanics and options, because it's not. Seems like maybe about half of that 20% is that kind of stuff. Maybe a little less. I'm not sure. So first of all, let's talk about just the physical aspects of this book. So this book has identical binding and paper to the Player's Handbook, DMG, Monster Manual. Exactly the same as far as I can tell. It's 159 pages long. It's full color. It's got an index, which is nice. Just like in the core D&D books, there is, in my opinion, a range of quality when it comes to the art in the book that goes from some pretty cool art to some not so great art. It's kind of a mix, but I found that with all of the core books in D&D, there's some really cool art and some art that's just kind of like, why is this in here? But there you go. The book itself is well written. It's easy to read, although there are unfortunately some editorial oversights in it. For instance, in the setting chapters, it will sometimes bounce back and forth between being in past tense and being in what I call the historic present tense, if you know what I mean, which I personally hate when things are written in the historic present tense. So in a given paragraph, you know, we might be talking about what happened past tense in Waterdeep, and then we switch to present tense talking about Waterdeep, and then we're back to past tense, and it's an editorial oversight. It's not something that's being done intentionally, so that's unfortunate, but I only saw it like a handful of times, so it's not like gonna ruin the book for you or anything. The other physical thing to talk about with the book is the maps. Honestly, I'm not a fan of the maps in the book. They are way too busy at the scale that they're presented in the book. Now, if you had a poster, a huge poster version of one of these maps, it might be okay. It still wouldn't be great, in my opinion. I'm just not a fan of them. But at the size that they're presented in the book, they're just a mess of lines and topography, and it's just way, way, way too busy. And that's really too bad, because in a book that's over 80% setting and fluff, I think maps are really important. There's also not a list of maps like in the table of contents, you know, so that you can know what maps are in the book and where to find them. So they're not terribly easy to find. And there's also not any kind of a poster map included, which was really a disappointment to me. And I really expected in a book like this to have, you know, a fold out poster map of the Sword Coast. And again, you know, maybe if we had a big version of one of those maps, it might be a little busy or a little better and wouldn't seem so busy. But, you know, you'll have to make your own decision there. But yeah, maps were kind of a disappointment for me. All right, so now I'm going to go into the contents, and I'm just going to go through the book chapter by chapter and tell you what's in here. So chapter one is called Welcome to the Realms. We start out with an overview of the different areas in and around the Sword Coast. And this is very bare bones stuff. We're not going to get into a lot of specifics here. And, you know, there are varying opinions among DMs, like what you want. You know, some people want, in a setting kind of thing, they want every little thing spelled out for them. And then some people just want some broad brush strokes, and then they get to fill in all the blanks, right? So if you're someone that wants everything spelled out, you're probably not going to be happy with this. If you're someone that just wants some ideas to run with, but kind of leave it open to give you a little more freedom to do what you want and not feel like everything's defined for you, then this is the kind of thing you'll probably like. We also have information on how the calendar of the realms works, the months, the days, all that stuff. and a very brief history of the realms, including a very brief summary of the changes through 4th edition and now 5th edition. So for those DMs who are old friends of the realms, like myself, this is probably what you're looking for as far as the setting stuff, right? Like, we already know about the Sword Coast and we know about Waterdeep and all that stuff. We're really wanting to know, like, what's different? What's changed in 5th edition, right? But unfortunately, because at the same time this book is trying to bring a brand new DM to the realms up to speed and tell the more experienced realms DMs what's new in 5th edition, because it's trying to do both of those at once, there isn't a lot of word count devoted to talking about what's changed since, say, the Spell Plague, right? So if you're buying this book solely for the purpose to find the quote-unquote current state of the realms, I think you're going to be very disappointed with it, because there's very little devoted to that. And I think if that's you, if that's what you want out of this book, I think you'd be better served learning the few tidbits of that information that's shared kind of through the grapevine on the internet, right? I'm sure people are going to talk about it on blogs and podcasts and whatnot. And I think, I mean, it's literally maybe a page or two, it seems like, of, you know, this is what's changed since 3rd edition or 4th edition. And, you know, that information's going to be out there, right? You don't need to spend this kind of money on a book if that's all you want from it. Also in chapter one, there's a fairly lengthy section. I'd say it's probably at least half of the chapter on religion in the realms. And this includes a write-up of the various common human deities. You won't find non-human deities in this section. So each deity gets maybe, I don't know, half a page, depending about that deity. The non-human deities get at most a sentence or two in the section on their respective race towards the end of the book. So if you're wanting to know about the elven deities, you go to the elf section at the end of the book, and there's literally a sentence or two about a few of the elf deities, and that's it. Human deities, they get a better treatment in this section, talks about them. So I would say if you have something from a previous edition, like I used to have the 3rd edition Forgotten Realms campaign setting book, you're really not going to learn anything new in this. And, you know, for me personally to use it in my games, even if I was running in the realms, I personally would be pretty disappointed with this whole 80% of the book that's setting stuff. Because, you know, you hold this up next to the 3rd edition campaign setting book and there's very little that's new. Most of it is stuff that you already knew from that book. And again, with the deities, you know, most of it you could have gotten from an earlier source or, you know, a wiki online or whatever. There's going to be maybe a few sentences about what's happened with that deity lately or maybe how it's changed or not, but that's it. So again, if you're a DM running in the realms and you're completely new to the realms, you've just started playing in Forgotten Realms, and you really don't know a whole lot about it other than what little is given in like the player's handbook, then this is going to be a great book for you, because the realms is huge. And this kind of focuses on the Sword Coast, which is one part of the realms, and gives you some more information to go by than what you have otherwise. So I think for a new DM like that, you know, this is a great book. But, you know, if you're like me and you used to have or still have like the 3rd edition campaign setting, you're probably going to be pretty disappointed with this, because there's going to be very, very little that's new or different. All right, so chapter two is the Sword Coast and the North. So here we have short write-ups of some of the more popular cities in the area, including Waterdeep, Silvery Moon, Baldur's Gate, Neverwinter, etc. So you're getting about a page or two of information at most on each of these places. Some of the cities also have a quote-unquote a map for them, but they're pretty bad. You know, what I was saying about the area maps, you may or may not agree with whether you think those maps are any good or not, but the city maps, I think we can all agree that they're pretty bad. They're not really useful for anything more than giving you the large kind of areas or sections of a city. So for instance, the wards of Waterdeep. So if you look at the Waterdeep map, yeah, it kind of shows you where the wards are in relation to each other, but that's it. They're, you know, the maps are pretty bad for the cities. And again, that's a real shame, because, you know, having great maps in this book would have really helped. Now, one thing I think might be part of the problem with some people's reactions to this book is I don't know that it's been marketed as well as it could have been or as accurately as it could have been. Now, something I remember seeing said about this book before it was out was that it's going to have more information about the Underdark. So if you're running or playing Out of the Abyss and you want to learn more about the Underdark, you're going to learn more about the Underdark. Or even, and I saw this somewhere, if you're playing Sword Coast Adventures, the video game, and you want to know about more of the Underdark, you might want to buy this book to learn more about the Underdark. I don't think that's true. There is exactly 2.5 pages on the Underdark in this book, and half of one of those pages is an illustration. So there's 2 pages. So I think if you're playing Sword Coast Adventures or you're running Out of the Abyss and you're buying this book just to learn more about the Underdark and you see 2 pages and it's like overarching kind of fluff, it doesn't really drill down very much, I think you're going to be pretty disappointed. So just bear that in mind if that's you. All right, chapter 3 is Races of the Realms. So chapters 1 and 2, again, is like 80% of the book. So from here on, chapter 3 on, this is 20% of the book. It's at the back. And this is probably what a lot of you are looking for. So chapter 3, Races of the Realms, we go through all the races. Unfortunately, relatively few of them have anything really substantial added as far as mechanics. So dwarves, we've got a little more flavor information about the various subraces of dwarves. We also get rules for playing the Duergar or Grey Dwarves. Elves, humans, dragonborn, and half-orcs, we just get flavor information. That's it, and not a lot of it. Humans, we get a little bit on the various ethnicities of humans in the realms, but nowhere near the treatment that we got in the 3rd edition Forgotten Realms campaign setting book about the various ethnicities. Gnomes, we get rules for the deep gnomes, and we first saw this in the Elemental Evil Player's Companion, and it has been slightly changed from that. So here, the deep gnomes get a +1 to dex, and that's it. Where in the Elemental Evil Player's Companion, they were getting +2 intelligence and +1 dex. So I think this version is better balanced and just makes more sense. I kind of wonder if the +2 intelligence was a typo, because I don't remember, you know, ever reading or seeing anything anywhere about deep gnomes were super smart. And it just seems unbalanced, you know, giving them a +2 and a +1 compared to what other races get. But other than that, they're pretty much the same as they were in the Elemental Evil Player's Companion. So I guess I'll leave that up to you if you consider that new information. Halflings, we get a tiny little sidebar on playing a Ghostwise Halfling. And that's it. Other than that, it's just flavor stuff. Half-elves, we get optional half-elf variant rule, which basically allows you to swap out certain half-elf abilities for an ability from your elf parent's subrace. So that's kind of cool, but that's it. Other than that, just fluff stuff. Tiefling, we get some variants for if you're not of the blood of Asmodeus, which the tiefling presented in the player's handbook is assuming that you are of the blood of Asmodeus. So you have some different abilities you can take as a tiefling if you want to be descended from someone else. And these are pretty cool. But again, it's just a little sidebar. Asimar, I'm not sure why this is even in here, because it's literally a 3-sentence sidebar that tells you to go look in the DMG to find out about the Asimar. So I'm not sure why that's even there. All right, so that's chapter 3. So again, if you're looking for mechanics on the races, not a lot here. And if you want to play a lot of these races, there's nothing here. Chapter 4 is classes. And again, kind of more of the same. Some of the classes get a little bit of mechanics, maybe a new archetype or two. Some of them get nothing. And the choices here, I think, are a little odd. All right, so Barbarian. We get a new path of the Battle Rager. So if you've read the Salvatore books, this is, you know, the Dwarven Battle Ragers. So if you're into that, here's rules on how to play one. We also, for the Path of the Totem Warrior, we get 2 more totems, the Elk and the Tiger. Bard. Bard's one of the disappointments in this book. We get some fluff about Bardic colleges in the realms, and we get some Bardic instruments in the realms. That's it. nothing mechanical, nothing you didn't already know about if you had a previous version of the realms. So disappointment with the bards. Cleric, we get one new domain, the Arcana Domain. The Arcana Domain is pretty cool. I'm a fan of it. I like it. I feel like it's something that should have been in the game from the beginning. I'm really curious to see someone play this in my world of Primordia, because I think it'll be a little maybe overpowered in Primordia, because one of the features you get with the Arcana Domain is instead of your turning ability working on undead, it instead works on what we used to call outsiders. So it works on fiends and celestials and elementals, things like that. So that's pretty cool. But only one domain, right? And we're going to see later, like the monk gets two new archetypes, which kind of has me mystified. First of all, there are classes that have far fewer archetypes than a lot of the other classes, and I would just like to see them get more love. And second of all, we have the cleric, where we really don't have enough domains for cleric, and I've said this on the show before, and this has never been more apparent than in this very book. When you go into the deities section and they have charts with all the deities, and it tells you, you know, their alignment and what domains they have, and you realize how, first of all, what a ridiculous number of deities there are in the realm. And I don't know. This is a whole tangent. I won't get on this, but like, why do we need a deity of death and then a deity of the dead? I mean, come on, can't that be the same deity? But anyway, you have all these deities, and then you just have this handful of domains that they're all sharing. It doesn't make a lot of sense. So I would have really loved to see more cleric domains, but we get one. Druid, fluff on druid circles, that's it. Nothing really for the druid. Fighter, we get the purple dragon knight archetype. And one thing that I do like that they do in this book is they are always kind of reminding you that you can use this beyond the Forgotten Realms. So, you know, the Purple Dragon Knight, they suggest if you're using this in your own homebrew world or some other world other than Forgotten Realms, you probably don't want to call it a Purple Dragon Knight because that's specific to Cormyr. So they suggest calling it a Baronet. But that's what we got for Fighter. Monk, we've got some fluff on various monk orders in the realm. And then we have two new monk archetypes, Way of the Long Death and Way of the Sun Soul. These are both pretty cool. Way of the Long Death is for you that want to play an evil monk, basically. But I'm kind of like, really? Two more monk archetypes? I mean, really? I would have much rather seen a new archetype for the bard or the druid or, you know, one of those guys that's only got two. But the monk, really. When I think Forgotten Realms, I don't think monks. When I think D&D, I don't think monks. So that's bizarre. Paladin, we've got a new archetype, Oath of the Crown. And Ranger, we have, this is another very disappointing chapter, especially considering how kind of broken a lot of people feel the Ranger is. Ranger section, we've got some fluff on how different races could be Rangers. So, yeah, I feel like even the first-time player can figure that out for themselves. That's kind of part of your character concept. I don't know that you need WotC to tell you. Yeah, really, really disappointing there. So basically nothing on the Ranger. Rogue, we get a new archetype called the Mastermind, and we also get the archetype Swashbuckler. So Swashbuckler is a finalized form of the Swashbuckler we saw in Unearthed Arcana. And I'm sorry I didn't go and compare them, so I can't really tell you if much is different or the same. But now you have a finished version, whether it's different or not, that's no longer playtest that you can use in your game. Sorcerer, we get the Storm Sorcery Origin, which again, this is a finalized form of the Storm Sorcery Origin that we saw earlier in Unearthed Arcana. Warlock, we get the Undying Patron, so a new patron for Warlocks. That's pretty cool. And Wizard, we get the Blade Singing Tradition. So really the people or the classes here that really got shafted are the Bard, the Druid, and the Ranger. Everybody else got something, got some kind of new archetype or something. But Bard, Druid, and Ranger got a whole lot of nothing, which is too bad. Also, another area where I feel like there's some misunderstanding going on as far as how this is being marketed is I'm seeing it said that, you know, there's new spells for your campaign in this book. Okay, there are four new cantrips. That's it. So if you're a sorcerer, warlock, or wizard, there are four new cantrips, and they're basically to help out people wanting to play the Bladesinger tradition. So they're cantrips that you can use in melee, and they're cool. They're cool cantrips, but it's four cantrips. So personally, if I was trying to sell this book to someone, a selling point would not be saying there's new spells for your game. It's like, well, there's four cantrips, four arcane classes, and that's it. And not Bard. Just the Sorcerer, Warlock, and Wizard. All right, so that is Chapter 4. Chapter 5 is Background. Now, this is one area that I think that the book nailed it. This is something that I myself and other people I know have really been asking for in 5th edition, is more backgrounds. And here we get quite a few new backgrounds, and they're all, you know, they're well done. They're cool. So the backgrounds included are City Watch, Clan Crafter, which is a dwarven thing, dwarven clans, Cloistered Scholar, Courtier, Faction Agent, Far Traveler, Inheritor, Knight of the Order, Mercenary Veteran, Urban Bounty Hunter, Uthgart Tribe Member, and Water Davian Noble. So these are all new backgrounds added. A lot of these, or maybe even all of them, seem to be kind of a more focused version of a background we already have. So there's not like a lot of like completely new ground here as far as backgrounds. But for a player that has a really specific character concept, if they, you know, if one of these backgrounds fits that, I think they'll be more happy with that than the kind of more general backgrounds that we have in the player's handbook. And then finally, we have an appendix, Class Options in Other Worlds. So here we have some ideas given on how to use the various class options that are given in the book in Dragonlance, Eberron, Greyhawk, and your homemade world. There are 3 pages total of the book for this. It's really general, and I think a lot of it kind of obvious stuff. Again, if you're a brand new DM, this may be helpful to you, but if you're a very experienced DM at all, I don't know that this is really going to help you much, because it's pretty obvious stuff, I think. So there you go. There's what's in the book. So the end of my review, I kind of give my bottom line, right, of this product. Should you get it? Should you not? Like a lot of things, it depends, right? It depends on you, on what you want out of it, how much of a book that you spend X amount for needs to be what you want for it to seem like it's worth it to you. You know, everybody has to answer that for themselves. I feel like there's one specific type of player that this book is for, and that's a DM who wants to run in the realms and has no prior knowledge of the realms. If that's you, I think you'll enjoy this book, and I think that you'll most likely feel that it's worth the money you spent on it. However, if this is you, I do feel that you would have been better served by a book like the 3rd edition Forgotten Realms campaign setting book than this one. And if that book were still widely available, like if you could just go on Amazon and buy it from Amazon and not have to deal with, you know, buying used copies or buying from third-party sellers, I would actually recommend that you just go get that book, because it has a lot more information than this one does. It talks about more than just the Sword Coast. It just has a lot more of everything than this one does. The only difference would be the mechanical stuff, which that book had a lot more mechanical stuff than this one does. The mechanical stuff is going to be 3rd edition, right? So you'd have to do some converting. But overall, I think you'll be happy. If you're a new DM, you're wanting to run into realms, I think you'll be happy with this, because there's a lot more setting information here than you had before. At least you have something to go on now, and you have an area of the realms, the Sword Coast, that's fairly well presented and developed here that you can kind of work with. And then you've got all these other areas in the realms that it briefly mentions that you can kind of do whatever you want with, because you don't have anything quote unquote official on it, unless you want to go look at previous edition stuff or go look at the Forgotten Realms wiki and stuff like that. Also, you're going to have some more cool player options for your players. So some of the sub races, you'll have a few more options for them, like if they want to play a tiefling or a half elf. And some of the classes, you'll have some additional archetypes for them. So that's cool. So again, if you're a new DM or at least new to the realms, I think this will be a good book for you. You're going to get lots of setting stuff. You're going to get some options for your players, and I think you'll be happy with it. Now, if you're a DM and you want to run into realms, but you already have information on the realms from a previous edition, for example, the Forgotten Realms campaign setting from 3rd edition, I think that you will find the setting part of the book, which again is about 80% of it, pretty disappointing. I feel like a large portion of the information in that part of the book hasn't changed much, if at all, since the 3rd edition book. And what has changed could be summarized in a document that's only a few pages long. It'll be up to you if the number of additional options presented at the end of the book for your players is going to be enough to make it worth the price of admission. That's something you'll have to decide. And if you're really not sure, I'd recommend going to a game store or a bookstore that has this and just sitting down with it and flipping through it and deciding, you know, is this enough to get this? You know, am I going to be happy with this? If you're just a player, if you're not a DM, I really don't think this book is for you. I think you're ultimately going to be disappointed with it. There are some cool new player options in this book, but they comprise less than 20% of the book. I think if you're just a player, you would be better served getting together with the other players in your group and pitching in and buying your DM a copy of the book. Then you can all use the player options in the book, and your DM is going to get a lot more use out of that other 80% of the book than any of the players will. Now, the one exception to this is if, as a player, you're new to the realms yourself and you really want to learn more about the realms, then I think you'll be happy with this book. Maybe you want to play a character who's very well versed in the information presented here. And if that's you, then this book is for you. I think you'll love it, because there's, you know, again, 80% of the book is setting fluff information. And if you're completely new to the realms and you want to learn more, it's great. I feel like a lot of the people that are talking online and saying that they're disappointed with this book are disappointed because the book isn't really for them. I think this book, honestly, is really for a fairly small percentage of us playing 5th edition right now. And I think kind of a problem with this book is it can't seem to decide if it wants to be for players or for DMs. And it's trying to do both at the same time, but ultimately, personally, I think it fails a little bit at both, because it's trying to do both at the same time. Personally, I would have rather seen a more extensive campaign setting book for DMs and a separate book for players with new options for all the races and all the classes and more than just 4 new spells. I think that would have been awesome. And, you know, this is something I see in the Fantasy Flight Games books for Star Wars too, where they don't want to just put out a book for GMs and they don't want to put out a book just for players, because, you know, they want to get those sales and they want everybody to buy the book. So instead, they put out a book that's, you know, at best half for players and half GMs, and end up making neither group really happy. So I really like it when we have products that this is for GMs and products this is for players. I think that that's a better way to go, at least if you're concerned about keeping your customers happy. So there's my take on the Sword Coast Adventures Guide. Again, I can't really say buy or don't buy, because it really depends who you are. Personally, I'm happy with it. Oh, I should say I did get a promotional copy of this book from Wizards. So, you know, keep that in mind when you're looking at my review. But I've tried very hard to give you my honest opinion. And I think you'll agree that I wasn't just, you know, oh, this book is wonderful and everybody should buy it, because I don't think that's true. I don't think this book is for everybody. I think if you're one of the people that this book is really for, I think you'll be very happy with it. But I really recommend, you know, if you're not the target group, if you're not a new DM running into realms, that you really take a look at a copy before you buy it and make your own decision if there's enough there for you. I think that the player options that are there are really good. And I really like them. Even the monk ones. I'm not a fan of the monk. I don't really think it fits. But the options that are there for the monk are cool. And if I was going to play a monk, I might want to play one of those archetypes. The only issue I have is, you know, some of the classes like the Bard and the Ranger were just skipped entirely. And I would have much rather seen something for the Ranger or even the Bard as opposed to two more monk archetypes. But again, what's there is good. So you need to decide for yourself if it's worth it for you. All right, well, that's going to wrap up episode 61 and my review of the Sword Coast Adventurer's Guide. Again, I'd love to hear from you. If you would like to hear more of these reviews about specific game products for specific games or not, GameMastersJourney@gmail.com is a great way to reach me and let me know. You can also follow me on Twitter at Lex Starwalker, and you can find me on Google Plus. Just search for Lex Starwalker. And again, if you want to comment on this episode, the best ways to do so are to either email me, comment on the show notes on the website at starwalkerstudios.com/GameMastersJourney, or comment on the episode entry in the Google Plus community. If you'd like to join the Google Plus community, you'll find a big red Join Our Google Plus Community button in the show notes. As far as what I'm planning for the show, I'm probably going to be doing another world building episode soon. I've really been firing on all cylinders with my World of Primordia. Just last week, we did our session zero and everybody made characters and we got all that done. And we actually started the first adventure. I think we played about an hour and a half, 2 hours of the first adventure. This week we're going to be continuing on. So I've been getting some really cool ideas from the players about the world. So I've definitely got material to do another world building episode. I know a lot of you really like those. So I might see if I can get another one of those out this week, maybe. So I'd say there's a good chance either this week or next week you're going to be getting a bonus episode. I am streaming that campaign on YouTube, YouTube Gaming. So you can just go to my YouTube channel at youtube.com/user/Starwalker Studios, or you can find a link in the show notes. And we stream every Thursday, 3:30 Pacific, 6:30 Eastern. And so you can come join us while we're streaming the game, and or you can watch those videos later on YouTube. And something that I've started doing now is I'm doing a little bit of editing on my actual play videos on YouTube. So I've started this with this new Primordia campaign. And what I'm doing is I'm chopping them up into about hour-long sections so you don't have like a four-hour video. And I'm also cutting out a lot of the off-topic conversation. So if you've watched my actual play before, you know that in the past it was just completely, you're a fly on the wall watching our game, completely unedited, and you see everything. And now for the videos that are on YouTube for the long term, I'm cutting out a lot of the non-relevant stuff. So if you like that stuff, then you want to watch the stream because then you can see everything. But if you're watching it later, then it's going to be a little bit more edited and hopefully a little more enjoyable to watch for people that get annoyed with off-topic conversations. Or for instance, when we take a break and no one's around for a couple minutes, right? So I cut that kind of stuff out. So I want to thank you very much for listening to Game Master's Journey. And please let me know. I'd love feedback about the show. I know I'm doing a lot of different things now. You know, Sometimes I do interviews, sometimes I talk about my D&D campaign, sometimes I talk about my Star Wars campaign, sometimes I talk about various supplements, and you know, I'm just trying different things with the show. So if there's anything in particular that you really like or you really don't like, let me know. I'd love to hear from you. So I hope you have a chance to play your favorite RPG this week. I'll be back next time with another episode of Game Master's Journey. Until then, game on.
This has been a Starwalker Studios production, your source for quality gaming and hobby podcasts.
This episode's music provided by Cloudwalker, Renfield, Tranceboy, and Ish. Please see the show notes for more details at starwalkerstudios.com/GameMastersJourney.